Thanks, Mike. All right, as Mike just said, we're going to continue on with stink bugs and look at some of these data in a little more detail involving the threshold test. I'm going to summarize about 4 years worth of data on stink bugs. And there's my short attempt at humor for this morning. The main stink bug players that we're dealing with is Dr. Batchelor just mentioned, are the green stink bug, the southern green stink bug, and the brown stink bug. We do have a complex of plant bugs that can be important in selected fields here and there, but it's a rare occasion. So we're primarily concentrating on the stink bugs by far. The pest status of stink bugs in cotton across the cotton belt for the last decade or so, they've been in the top five. Most of that in the southeast, they're either our number one or our number two pest. They're right there with bollworm in our current status with bollguard cotton. I think you're all familiar with the boll sampling procedure that we use to determine these boll injury thresholds. We're opening these half-grown, quarter-size, quarter-in-diameter bolls. And looking for internal feeding symptoms to make a decision based upon a percent of those that has been injured. And we used this early on in 98 to 2001 to develop this injury-based threshold. We've been refining it for the last 4 years, and I've got about 50 trials worth of information to look at, and we're going to go right at it. Some of the treatments you'll see in these trials are, of course, an untreated check. We've got the weekly application starting from the first week of bloom to completely protect the cotton crop. We have an automatic treatment where we spray it at the third, the fifth, and the seventh week of bloom. And then we've got 10, 20, and 30% kind of centering around that 20% static threshold. And of course, the dynamic threshold, as Dr. Batchelor just mentioned. We treated with a medium rate pyrethroid and added 4 ounces of Bidrin for a good treatment combination. When we look at these six treatments, we had 23 trials across the three states during a three-year period. Let me set this up. Where's the mouse on this thing? Use a touchpad. Let me set this up. This is the average number of sprays for that treatment across all those trials. And what we're going to look at first is we're going to look at the percent difference from the untreated check. So here's the untreated check, and this will be the percent difference from that. You can see not a lot of difference here with these different treatments. This will be the weekly from first bloom, 10%, 20%, 30%, and the dynamic threshold. When we look at the lint yield per acre, no significant differences here. We're looking at the top of these bars. Let me set up the economic information here. I basically use $9 per application as application costs, 65 cents per pound of cotton, and then use these average number of sprays and the yield advantage over the untreated check to generate this crude economic information. But as you can see, over these 23 trials, only two were actually in the black, and that would be the static 20% threshold and the dynamic threshold. So it's kind of interesting, and what I wanted to do is tease this apart further and look at these different threshold tests under varying pressures from stink bugs. How do these thresholds hold up against heavy pressure from stink bugs, moderate, low pressure, and then very low pressure? So we thought that'd be a good way to look at it. So defining that pressure from bugs, if we did not spray at the 20% threshold, I call that low. If we sprayed one time at the 20% threshold, we call that low moderate. And if we spray two or more times at the 20% static threshold, we're going to call that moderate high. So at the moderate high pressure from stink bugs, that would be where we had two or more treatments at the 20% threshold. We had 14 trials across three states during the four-year period. And you look over here on the y-axis, we've got the percent difference from the untreated yield. And as you might notice, this is a lot larger than the last trial, as you might expect. Almost 6.5 sprays at the weekly application and 2.5 sprays on the static threshold. When you look at the lint yield per acre, we got a significant difference here. Almost 6.5 sprays at the weekly threshold resulted in almost 400 more pounds of lint. And the static threshold at 2.5 sprays was very close behind. But you might notice there was a significant difference. So we were leaving some cotton unprotected with the static threshold under this moderate to high pressure. If we look at bringing in the dynamic treatment in this comparison, there were five trials across the three states during a three-year period where we had all four of these treatments. And looking at the percent difference from the untreated check, it was still fairly high. Look at the actual yields. if we did something, it was better than the untreated check. You can see 260 pounds on the weekly treatment, almost 200 at 2.2 sprays at the static 20%, and about 250 pounds at the dynamic threshold at just over 2.5 sprays. And the dynamic threshold led in terms of my crude economic analyses here. If we switch gears and look at the low moderate pressure, and this will be where we spray just one time across these trials at the 20% threshold, and we had 18 trials across three states during 3 years, the percent difference is a lot lower. You can notice it's very tight here, over six applications, one application at 20% and almost 1.5 at the dynamic. Looking at the actual yields, no significant differences here. We're looking at the top of these bars. But the dynamic threshold was the only treatment that was in the black under this low to moderate pressure from stink bugs across these 18 trials, so very interesting. If we pull in another treatment, we had seven trials, and the additional treatment here would be the automatic applications at weeks 3, 5, and 7 of bloom, denoted with the white bar here. You can still see the percent difference from the untreated check is very low. We did detect a significant differences here, indicating the data were pretty good. Again, the only treatment in this multiple comparison was the dynamic threshold that resulted in positive net return. So again, very interesting under low to moderate pressure where we sprayed one time at the 20% static threshold. If we look at low pressure from stink bugs, and this will be where we did not spray at the 20% static threshold, we had 14 trials across three states over 3 years. You can see the percent difference from the untreated checks, very close here. And as you might expect, no significant differences in the yield. But under this very low pressure, I went ahead and used the static threshold, which was basically an untreated check, to generate an average untreated check yield here. And you can see this is all very close. But again, when you plug in the numbers, the dynamic threshold was the winner in terms of economics under low pressure from stink bugs. Kind of went through that very quickly, but to conclude, under moderate or high pressure from stink bugs, where we had a significant yield loss, the static threshold that we've recommended for years now did well under moderate to heavy pressure, but apparently left some cotton unprotected, as you noticed on the slide. Under low to moderate pressure, we had fewer yield losses. And again, the static threshold prevented unnecessary spraying, but as you notice in the charts, the dynamic threshold did result in higher profits under most, if not all, of the pressures. So again, continuing to conclude here, we're definitely in the scouting for bugs business. Looking for worms is just about over. It will be secondary to looking for bugs, of course. Use the most current threshold recommendation for your state, and that continues to change as we've looked at this threshold development for over a decade now. But we can all agree in our three-state region to be more aggressive in protecting cotton during weeks 3, 4, and 5 of bloom. That's without question. We differ a little bit on, Dr. Batchelor just showed the beginning, the first couple of weeks of bloom, and the end of the season. I think there are some subtle differences perhaps in our states, or potential for different pressures, what have you, but we're still continuing to refine even those areas of the threshold. So we do agree that you need to protect very aggressively during weeks 3, 4, and 5 of bloom. Now, of course, I didn't say anything about insecticides other than what we use in these trials, the tank mix of the OP, Bidron, plus a pyrethroid. But there are a lot of things to consider with insecticide choice in stink bugs. Right now, having a pyrethroid in that mix is certainly necessary. And you're all aware of how different combinations can affect other insects. I'd like to acknowledge Cotton Incorporated, cotton producers in all three states, and our cooperators in the industry for their help. I can take any questions this time.
Yeah, we've got some time for questions.
Bollworm. Yeah, you certainly don't want to disrupt with just an OP. As you're all aware, you can mess up even Bolgard 2 or Wide Strike with an acephate application or Bidron or something like that early. So, in my opinion, you have to have a pyrethroid in there.
Jeremy, when you add a flexibility like this to the system, in other words, having this dynamic
Right. Yeah, that will certainly be an educational challenge to just define the first week of bloom. After that, it'll be easy. But you know, Dr. Batcher was discussing how we use it in our threshold test. You know, certainly not the first bloom present during the first week, but you know, one every few feet on a plant, every other plant. You know, however you want to define it, you're going to be within a couple of days of getting it. But yeah, that certainly is an educational challenge to start this whole process. And it is a challenge with it changing by week. You know, my personal preference is to stick with the 20% static threshold, but during weeks 3, 4, and 5 of bloom, be very aggressive. You know, drop that down to 10%. But we do want to guard against over-treating, you know, during weeks 1 and 2. We certainly don't want to do that, but towards the end of the season, I guess I'm a little more concerned. We can have a summer that lingers. We can have a crop, you know, say 555 that gets additional rain and starts again. So we could probably lose some on the tail end if we're not very protective there. So it certainly will be a challenge to present that dynamic threshold to our consultants and producers and get it adopted. If anything, if we can get consultants to go out and keep records of fields, and this one is at this week of bloom, you know, they'll just be more in tune with the field, and it would be a lot easier to use something like this. And yeah, Lane, you got a question. Well, as you're familiar, when you're looking at a different cohort of bolls the following week, you're looking at a different set of bolls. In a week, bolls dramatically change in size during the summer. So you're not looking at old damage. I didn't hear you, Lane. No, you're looking at new injury, new symptoms of feeding injury. If you're doing it right, if you're not looking at the right size bowls, you're going to be looking at old damage, exactly. So that's going to stretch you out to probably 2 weeks before you're detecting a real change. So, you know, it's another educational challenge is to make sure folks that are using this method are looking at the right size bowls. And we've been doing this for a decade now, and it's fairly straightforward as long as you are consistent. Sure. Yeah, Roy. Right, yeah. Yeah, that's certainly an opportunity to use some heat unit accumulation or something in there. Certainly. Still all right?
Good shape.
Any?
Might also add to that that these are bowls that are soft when you when you touch them. I mean, there's something to that. If the bowl gets very old at all, they get hardened right away. You know, you're in the wrong size bowls.
Yeah, I tell my crew when we're conducting these trials every year to get the largest bowl that you can easily push your thumb into, and that's about a 2 week old bowl. And you're not looking at that bowl the following week. You're looking at different bowls, new bowls. So that's kind of the guideline I use. All right, thanks.